reverses.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We are efforting Curtis Haug. In the meantime, story about the death of Seth Rich, we've talked about on the show. A prominent talk show sent me this email. Apparently there are stories. In fact, the White House, Sean Spicer was asked about this at the news briefing today, didn't answer. Seth Rich was the Democratic Party data analyst at the DNC who was shot and killed July 10th last summer. Reportedly looking into the California primary voting techniques. There have been a couple of Stanford studies questioning the vote in the primary, and Bernie lost by 17 points. Anyway, Seth Rich was killed in July of last summer, and it was called a burglary at first, not burglary, but a robbery at first, but his wallet wasn't taken. And his phone wasn't taken, and his watch wasn't taken. And why would you shoot somebody three times in the back in a robbery and not take the wallet or the watch or the phone? And Julian Assange of WikiLeaks put out a $20,000 reward for information leading or someone who can pin the murderer on Seth Rich and the Seth Rich murderer. Now, the computer apparently is missing, or it's the police had it, or the police and FBI fumbling around with it or something. But a private eye was hired by Seth Rich's father. And Seth Rich, apparently, according to this private eye, was giving information to the WikiLeaks people, leaking DNC information to WikiLeaks. So somebody should get to the computer. Yeah, it was reported it was like 44,000 emails that involved the DNC of Seth Rich and so forth. And so this is an investigation that's still going on. And it's one of these movie type things. NBC News. Oh yeah. DNC staffer murder draws fresh conspiracy theories. NBC News an hour ago. Murdered DNC staffer Seth Rich had sent 44,000 internet emails to WikiLeaks in a report. Washington Examiner. Well, that's a sorted paper, but fact check. Did DNC staffer Seth Rich send thousands of emails to WikiLeaks before he was killed? This is Snopes.com, which isn't always correct, right? By the way, Curtis Salk is not answering the phone right now. It's okay, this is more important. Well, they say that's unproven. And the family is not happy with this private eye leaking stuff. But I simply ask you at home. We talk about the Russians. And again, the DNC stuff and the John Podesta stuff were leaked. And John Podesta's emails were secured through a phishing expedition, because remember his password was
password.
Hey kids, you want to do that? You can get it. The password is password. Remember the show? Well, again, an older reference. There used to be a show, a game show, Password. Alan Ludden. God, I'm an old man. I'm old, but you know we are who we are, right?
Password was fun.
Did you see a modern version of it, or did you watch it on Nick at Night, or what? The original?
Sure. Yeah.
You're kind of an old soul. But the question is, don't you think it's kind of fishy? Don't you want them investigating that, too? I mean, go ahead and investigate Trump and the Russians and the collusion, which they've found really no evidence yet of collusion with the Russians on the campaign with Team Trump. And they haven't yet. keep in mind the investigation in the FBI began last July. And we don't have it yet. It's May. Could that be Curtis Houck? We'll see. Anyway, so I would say the FBI and the media should be investigating the Seth Rich murder. How do we not know Seth Rich didn't leak those emails? You know, and the Russians could be part of it. Maybe the Russians killed him. I don't know. Curtis Houck on the phone. Curtis Houck from the Media Research Center, newsbusters.org. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, great to be with you, Mitch.
Good to have you on the show. I hope you're not out of breath from running, but you sound young, so you could probably run.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy here, just watching everything unfolding here.
Well, now, where are we? Because when I came on the air, it was a report in the New York Times that the Israelis might have leaked the information, the classified information. Is that where you are with this story?
Yeah, in terms of the story that was initially came released by the Washington Post yesterday, the Wall Street Journal had this story apparently yesterday, including this angle about the Israelis, but they chose not to go forward with it, so they kind of got beat to the punch by the Post.
Oh, well, you know what, though? The people at home don't care who breaks the story. Editors care. But the people at home, they want the latest. They just want the latest.
And that's what I think is really interesting about this story, is that you have a lot of Washington Post reporters, or the fact checker Glenn Kessler tweeted about there being massive applause in the newsroom yesterday.
When
the story was released, that it broke the traffic record from the Access Hollywood tape. I mean, if you're really committed to the truth, I think, no matter what side of the aisle you're on and you hear about something like that, I really think that's, I don't really know. That's really unseemly, I think.
Didn't Matt Drudge go nuts on that on Twitter?
Yes, exactly. And I was going to say what you want about Drudge, but he had a point there, that it was, it is on the record in stories that when Obama visited the newsroom in 2009, he was given a standing ovation. By the news.
So like Arnold Palmer at the Open in 94, yeah, same kind of deal.
Yes, that's a very good analogy.
Now, what your study of late, though, and the reason for that, because you're comparing Nixon references to Trump, is that what it is?
Or is based on the stories that happened last week, I'm sure that in the last hour, the number of Nixon Watergate mentions have grown exponentially, but so I'm sure as a reference to your listeners, be lookout on the update for that, as we'll probably have more on that. But yeah, just with it, and we looked at just cable news, primetime cable news,
right?
And it was just simply astronomical.
Also, CNN had like 92% of its stories were on Trump and 8% on everything else, is what I saw.
Yes, that was our new story out today, that when it came to things covered versus Trump versus everyone else. And then we even went further into well over 90% of the guests were anti-Trump. There's a number of ways to look at it as far as what's covered. I think that's a little unseemly because there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world right now. We've got elections in Britain. There's constant violence going on in the Middle East, things going on with the push to defeat ISIS.
Well, that's true.
There's a whole number of issues to be covered.
But I will tell you, though, I'm sorry, but Trump is the story. He is the something profane I don't want to say. Roger Stone, we've had him on the show many times. I mean, Trump is the story, man. I mean, he just moves the needle. He moves the ratings.
I'm not denying that at all, no.
And that's what happens, man. Nobody cares. I mean, you could talk about the job numbers if you want. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, unless you're Fox Business or, maybe the Wall Street Journal. But the average person, I'm sorry, they're not going to watch it. They're going to watch Trump. But you're also getting, aren't you, Curtis, the Trump fans are backlashing against the media because Fox and talk radio are on board with that whole narrative. So isn't there a pushback on that?
Let's say that again. I was going to say I'm kind of
distracted, I know. There's a pushback by Trump fans against the media because they're trashing Trump all the time and they don't like it.
Well, I think there's a certain I come down kind of in between there, that I think the media, every time they freak out about something, whether it's the ice cream scoops or this story or any a number of Trump stories over the last year, the outrage meter has been a 12 on a 1 to 10 scale.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's legitimate or not. Like, this Comey thing is a very serious matter.
Yeah.
But the issue is, based on the media's past behavior, people are starting to tune them out because their outrage is the same. And it
right.
sounds, when I mean, something sounds the same, they're not going to watch.
Well, plus we had the Washington Post story on the fact that Rod, what is the deputy AG's name? Rosenstein?
Rod Rosenstein.
He wanted to resign if they didn't change the narrative. Well, that's been debunked. It was debunked by Rosenstein on the air. Then the story about how Comey wanted more resources. That was widely reported. And that's been debunked as well, as I understand it. Because the deputy director said nothing changes, you know, under oath.
Right. Right. And then you add in this element that came out with the Comey story last week was that the Washington Post reported that Comey asked for additional
Additional money, yeah.
For the Russia investigation. But then McCabe, the acting FBI director, the
right.
assistant, whose wife was involved with Terry McAuliffe.
Oh, there's always a wife involved. Terry McAuliffe.
Well,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but he testified to Congress when he was asked point blank about this that it was not true, that he did not ask, that Comey did not ask for additional resources.
And by the way, Comey wasn't doing the work on the investigation. It was the grunts who do the work. I mean, this idea that the investigation will end because Comey is gone. I worked for the Attorney General in this state for a year, and he didn't do any cases as long as I worked for him. He was doing news conferences and political fundraisers. He was not doing cases. We had 100 lawyers doing the cases. So
I think from a media standpoint, yeah, it's insulting.
Well, I mean, the idea that Comey was doing the investigation is a joke. He wasn't doing that. Now, he was in charge because he was the FBI guy. He was in charge. But this idea that he was doing the investigation is just not true. You know, it's like Donald Trump is. Remember when Barack Obama said that if you like your health care, you can keep it? And the conservative hosts were saying, oh, no, there was a memo in 2010 from the IRS saying that 5 million people would lose their insurance in the individual market. Well, they were assuming that Barack Obama read that memo. He was probably golfing. Why do we think he read that memo? You know, that's what I'm saying, man. You can always connect the dots, Curtis.
Well, I think then it's incumbent upon the media to be up to date in providing their viewers with the most up-to-date facts. So, like, and not to, get all themselves all tied up here. You were talking about with Comey.
Yeah.
The fact that he's gone, you had this media hysteria that the Russian investigation would not continue.
Right.
What you want about the Russian investigation, but the notion that it would stop, or that if something had happened at the FBI while they were investigating Hillary Clinton's email.
Or that Comey was up until midnight. Or that he was up until midnight every night working on it. Give me a break. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
exactly.
I'm saying.
He personally is going through every.
Well, it's like on House of Cards, man. They were rereading the education bill. He had a bunch of kids doing it, you know, with spaghetti in the conference room. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's beside the point. I mean, let's face it. All I'm saying is this Get Trump movement, and now I think it's a Get Trump. Do you watch Morning Joe on MSNBC? I mean, it is just unbelievable. I mean, the entire show. I mean, they're ready for him to walk the plank with a cigarette in the blindfold.
Yeah, I think that's particularly disturbing, the Mr. and Mrs. Joe, future Mr. and Mrs. Joe Scarborough. They pushed him above the other candidates in the GOP primary. You look at the coverage and you look at the interviews that they gave. He called in all the time to that show, and they had such wonderful things to say about him.
I know.
And when they were confronted about it, they were like, oh, I never, you know.
Right.
I was never.
By the way,
any favoritism.
I'm grossed out by the thought of Mr. and Mrs. Joe Scarborough. There's something unseemly about that. I'm sorry to air that on the air, but I just find that kind of gives me the willies, you know.
It's a little awkward. I'll say that.
It's not something that I want to think about too much. Curtis Houck, short tether tonight. I appreciate the time of the Media Research Center, newsbusters.org. Is that the place to go?
Absolutely. We'll have plenty of stuff tonight.
Aren't you the IU grad? You sound so young. I remember I had somebody on. Where'd you go to college?
I'm Penn State.
Penn State. That's right. Penn State. Gloating over the football game against Wisconsin. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry I brought that up. Thanks a lot, Curtis. Yeah. Take care.
Take care, Mitch.
Have a good night. Now we have Stephanie Taub. There's this fight of religious liberty out there, which I think is an interesting topic. We'll come back with that in a moment. The Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Let our family help your family.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
And there's a fight out there for religious liberty. Stephanie Taub of the Council for First Liberty joins us. Hello, Stephanie.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. I'm glad to be on the show. Now, people hear that, and it always gets people upset, and they start scratching their eyeballs out over it. But there's an ancient Jewish practice which was allowed to go on. Tell me what happened there.
So there was an activist group that sued a small California Orthodox Jewish synagogue. The suit was brought around 6 months ago, and just this last Friday, the court finally dismissed the case, saying that the ceremony could continue.
What are they doing the ceremony? I mean, it's a synagogue, right? They can do whatever they want, can't they?
Well, you'd think so. You'd think that religious liberty would be free. So what this is a over a 1,000-year-old practice that takes place before Yom Kippur. It involves holding a chicken over your head, saying a prayer in atonement, and then doing a kosher killing of that chicken, which is standard kosher practice, and contemplating your atonement. So this is a standard practice that's been going on for well over 1,000 years.
So who sued? Did PETA sue? I kind of winced when I heard that about the killing of the chicken myself. But so what was driving this? Cruelty to animals, I guess, huh?
That was an activist animal rights group is the one that was bringing this. So they were making up claims against the synagogue, saying that the synagogue was operating for profit or it's mostly a business organization. And so the court ruled that the statute they were trying to use only applied to businesses. It didn't apply to religious organizations.
So religious organizations were, in effect, exempt from cruelty to animals laws?
No. There's no animal cruelty involved here.
Okay, I see.
They were trying to use some sort of a way to get into court, kind of a back door, trying to say that this is some sort of a business. So is it trying to use California's unfair competition statute?
Right.
So the court didn't even have to reach the merits of the claim because there wasn't any standing. So that's what happened.
All right. Okay. So what else you got? I mean, there's now I must say this whole, you know, Bill O'Reilly used to do the war on Christmas stuff, and I hear from critics of that argument, well, you know, you've got Christmas is everywhere and churches are everywhere and, you know, people have holidays off on Good Friday and state workers. So, you know, Christmas and Christians pretty much run the show. But yet you've got cases to talk about, right?
Certainly. We're pleased to report good outcomes in two of our employment discrimination cases from just last week alone. So we had a healthcare worker who's a devoted Catholic who mostly taught about chronic health diseases, and because she wouldn't add one tiny course about contraception to her list of courses that she does, they terminated her. So we were able to come to a great settlement of that case last week.
And where did she work?
It was Legacy Community Health, and we're really happy with the way that they took the initiative to respect religious freedom and resolve this dispute ultimately. And our client's really pleased with the outcome.
Okay, so, and she won because in your strong case, is that, you know, she was allowed to practice her religious beliefs and that she shouldn't be terminated because of that, obviously, right?
That's right. Title VII protects employees from religious discrimination, and it also requires employers to grant religious accommodations when it wouldn't be an undue burden on that employer.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so, but you can see where we'll be all these social pressures against religious practices or religious freedom all the time, right? I mean, probably a court case every week, isn't there? I mean, there's something going on. There's a fight going on.
You do see a lot of hostility toward people of all sorts of religions, and we catalog these in a PDF called Undeniable, which you can find on our website at firstliberty.org. It's a book that lists hundreds of cases of against religious freedom of all faiths.
What about people who don't go to the hospital to take care of their kids because their religion doesn't believe in that? What about that?
That would be a different case. So you want to make sure that we protect people who are peaceably exercising their religion.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, there have been such cases, obviously, out there. But I've had people argue that, you know, religious freedom should carry the day on that, too. Even if, you know, even if the kid dies, which is horrible to think about. But my question, I mean, there is a line, isn't there, Stephanie? I mean, you're involving the health of a child.
Certainly. Most of the time, you'd advocate for a standard that was common, a strict scrutiny standard. So yeah. Religious freedom can be overcome if the government, but only in certain situations where the government has a truly compelling interest, like the health of a child.
Right.
So that's what statutes like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act are all about.
The Indiana case was a big case, wasn't it, with the religious freedom case. And Mike Pence kind of moved on that and kind of stepped back from that. But somehow he went on and became VP, so it didn't hurt his career much. But that was a high-profile case.
Yeah, what's interesting is that RFRA had such bipartisan support when it was originally passed. It was originally passed almost unanimously, and so along with RLUIPA. And so it really shouldn't be as much of a partisan issue as it was, because it doesn't say who should win in any particular set of circumstances. It just gives the standard of review that was really common in the United States for a couple of decades.
Right, but it was happening during the Final Four, so there was a bad timing, and then, of course, there went nuts. I think there was a fear, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that a restaurant owner, I think if it had been limited to weddings, I think it was a divided country, but when it came to just the restaurant owner not serving somebody, I think the language was a little bit loose, if I'm not mistaken, and nobody wanted that.
I'm not sure about that, if the Indiana RFRA, I'm not sure about that, but I don't know if any RFRAs have been applied in that situation.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you could certainly make the case that, you know, a true libertarian position would be that the racist even should be free not to serve somebody, and they'd be ostracized by the public and would go out of business. That's the pure libertarian government, get out of my life, get out of my church view. But you can see how touchy some of these things are politically. But for the most part, you're out there fighting for religious freedom. I applaud you for it. And
thank you.
Good luck in that effort. Stephanie Taub.
Thank you so much.
The Council for First Liberty. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Rolf Lindgren coming up to push back against the Trump haters. And we'll try to encourage our callers here as we get away from rush hour. The 5 o'clock edition, the new 5 o'clock edition of The Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com. AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to MadisonComedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click Shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
Oh, time flies. We're having fun. You're on the Mitch Hank Show, the 5 o'clock edition. Number to call, 210-1667, 210-1667, area code 608. On the phone, Rolf Lindgren, a famous figure in Dane County, a libertarian, Republican. What do I call you, Rolf?
You can call me a pro-liberty Republican.
Pro-liberty Republican.
Pro-liberty Republican.
You did kind of make, you kind of move to the grand old party in kind of a little bit of an... Yeah?
I didn't move to the Grand Ole Party. They moved to me.
Oh, they moved to you. I see. Now, you want to push back against the Trump haters, right?
Yes, I do. The Trump haters just hate. That's all they... It's everything that happens, no matter what happens, first they hate Comey, but then they hate it when Trump fires Comey.
Yes.
That's a simple example.
Well,
it never ends.
You know, there are certain... things that happen, though, that kind of affect people's hatred, because he was investigating the Trumpster on the so-called Russian collusion, so they were hanging their hat. They wanted Comey to get Trump, and so then he fires Comey. So there's a sense that's not fair, right?
That's what's just going an on. Ad hoc argument. There is no evidence that
collusion?
The Russians hacked the election.
Ooh.
Or that Trump colluded with the Russians. There's no evidence of it.
Well, when you say there's no evidence, and I know we have not seen the evidence, or any evidence.
Well, with all the leaks we have, wouldn't it have been leaked by now?
The actual
what
techniques.
Do they argue? I mean, the only argument...
Well, by the way, you've heard this all the time. The 17 intelligence agencies all say the Russians did it.
Yeah, including the Coast Guard intelligence is one of those. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, the Coast Guard intelligence. Do you think the Coast Guard intelligence did their own investigation on this, or do you think they just signed off on what another one
I said? Think they did. You know, this reminds
That's
me...
That's a talking point.
Right. It reminds me of the weapons of mass destruction, because they said, well, the Germans had it, and the Russians had it, and the French had it, and of course, they all have the same stuff, right? It's like a weather forecast.
Yeah, and the thing about the Russians, essentially... It all boils down to this DNC hacking. Now, the DNC said they were hacked in May, and then they hired a private company called CyberLink, and then they wrote a report in June that said that the hacking was consistent with the Russians. But the FBI was never permitted to look at the DNC servers, and we also know from the WikiLeaks emails that the actual hacking was actually in March, because that's when John Podesta changed his password, and the phishing scam worked. So actually, the DNC was actually hacked in March, not in May. So that right there, that's completely ignored in almost in all the mainstream news outside of possibly Fox News and shows like Limbaugh and Hannity and others, like, and possibly the Mitch Hanks show. But the hacking wasn't really, we know that the hacking was in March because WikiLeaks released the email that shows when the hacking occurred. It was in March. So when they what I think happened is that there was a fake hacking done in May, and then they gave the report to the FBI that just said this is consistent with the Russians.
Well, how do we know the Russians didn't hack in March?
Well, we have the email. All that happened was someone sent John Podesta an email that said you need to change your password.
Oh, so it was the phishing.
And then John Podesta forwarded the email to the IT department of the Clinton campaign. The IT department, the guy working there had like a voice automated email. So instead of typing out his emails, he just talked and then it made an email. So he said that email is illegitimate, but the voice mechanism took the word "that's illegitimate" to "that's legitimate."
Right.
So then Podesta got an email back from the IT department that that email was legitimate. So Podesta changed his password, and then whoever was getting the information for WikiLeaks then was able to get the information and pass it on to WikiLeaks. What probably then happened was the DNC probably didn't even know this was happening until May. So then they knew they were screwed. So then they made this phony report that the Russians did it, and they had a private company do the raids. It'd be like if you had Blackwater.
Well, how would the they hired a private team of investigators?
Well, CyberLink is a private company.
Yeah. And they said the Russians did it.
They said it was consistent with the Russians.
Oh, well, and then our 17 intelligence agencies, including the Coast Guard, signed on.
They're really strong. They have a strong department over at the Coast Guard.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they were all over this case at the DNC,
yes,
the Coast Guard intelligence.
You are skeptical of the fact that people in the media.
And then if you read the declassified report about this hacking at the DNC, most of the report concerns the TV show RT, which stands for Russia Today.
Yeah.
So basically there's a TV show, cable TV show called Russia Today, which you can get on the East Coast. If you stay in a hotel on the East Coast, you can get things like Bloomberg News, which you can't get around here.
No.
And you can also get Russia Today on your, it'll probably be on your TV screen as one of your choices of channels in your hotel room is Russia Today. So because Russia Today promotes a pro-Russian message, then that somehow is meddling with the election. That'd be like saying that if people can watch PBS in Moscow, then we're meddling in the Russian election. It's just a news service. Anybody can go online and read anything anyway. You can go you can read the Russian news service online anyway. You can read it from any country.
Well, Rob,
it's a legal TV station. It's just a legal station that's licensed by the government, probably.
It's a wonderful organization. But the point of it is, how do you know the Russians didn't do it?
How do I know? Well, because WikiLeaks said they didn't do it. WikiLeaks already had
They said the government didn't do it.
Well, first of all, we know that the hacking didn't occur in May. It happened in March. That's the first thing. It didn't even happen in May.
Yeah. Well, WikiLeaks said the Russian government didn't do it. So the...
Well, they said it wasn't... Well, if it wasn't the Russian government, then what does it mean? That's another question. What does it mean, the Russians? What does that mean? What if I'm 1/32nd Russian or something? Does that mean I'm a Russian? I mean, you know...
What are you on the...
Because she's 1/32nd Indian.
Are you on the Vladimir Putin payroll or what, Rolf? Are you getting vodka shipped to you secretly or what?
No, but... The WikiLeaks when is the last time WikiLeaks has been around for 10 years? If they're associated with the Russians, then were the Russians also the same people who, when WikiLeaks showed the U.S. soldiers murdering people in cold blood in Iraq, was that from the Russians? Was that from WikiLeaks? Has nothing to do. Wasn't Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, giving is Chelsea Manning an agent of the Russians? I don't think so.
Well, I think it's okay to be skeptical on this.
I'm going to explain to you why the Russian thing became so big. There's two things that happened that caused the Russians to be a big thing. The first thing is Ed Snowden revealed that information in 2013.
Yeah.
And he got stuck in Moscow in the airport. And then Obama probably thought that if he twisted Putin's arm, Putin would release and send Snowden back to the United States. Obviously, that didn't happen because Putin realized that Ed Snowden, being a worldwide hero, almost on par with Galileo, makes Putin look like a great man for protecting a great man, whereas it makes Obama look like a bad man for trying to track down
Galileo.
A good man.
Well, no,
like Galileo, that's right.
You got to calm down.
Not as big as Galileo. But
Rolf, we have a caller. Relax.
We do?
You're hyperventilating. You're out of breath, Rolf.
Okay.
Let's relax. 210-1667, 210-1667. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing fabulous tonight. Love America, love your radio show.
Oh,
love
thank you.
You're talking about.
Yes, Rolf is pushing back against the anti-Trump Russian collusion advocates.
Yes. Yes, I understand, and he's doing a really good job at it, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, Rolf is passionate, but I again, don't pretend to know the truth on this stuff, but I am skeptical all the time. So, you know.
Well, that's a good way to be. Trust but verify. And, of course, there are a lot of things that go around. You know, being an attorney, I'm always looking for the facts and the evidence and the proof and the original sources. And so it is important to find out, you know, what the truth is as much as you can before, you know, putting it out there as a journalist.
So are you skeptical about the Russian hacking? Or you think maybe it was somebody else? Or what was your thought?
You know, I mean, I was a Trump supporter early on before it was cool.
Cool, Lauren? I'm trying to think, when it become cool?
Oh, I just think it's, you know, there's definitely been a wave. I mean, anybody who's been to any one of his rallies while he was on the campaign, there was a momentum of American patriotism that we hadn't seen in a long time. And the first rally that I went to was when he came to Charleston, South Carolina, and it's ironic. He was that same day had announced during the campaign that he thought we should put a ban on certain foreign people coming into our country until we could get a handle on refugee programs and some of the H-1B-1 visas and immigration was out of control. And we were all waiting, and I'm telling you what, I drove down from Hilton Head, which was a 2.5-hour drive.
Where do you live, Laura? I'm just curious where you live.
Do you live in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
How'd you find our show? I'm just curious.
Oh, Rolf and I are
connected. I see. Yeah.
We know each other, and he recommended that I call in the show and talk. I've done a few radio shows myself.
Oh, okay. Well, now we know the connection, but I appreciate the call. Very nice. And
So Trump was on the USS Yorktown, and I'm telling you, the line to get in was thousands of people.
Thousands.
And so they had people outside, and that was just that set the stage for all of his rallies that he had through the whole campaign.
Lines around the block,
you know,
huh? They're around the block, Lauren. Probably, I'm guessing. Yeah, for a long time. Well, no, you're quite right in pointing out the huge support that Trump had, especially in South Carolina. And we thank you very much. As time is short, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, take care. Thank you, Rolf. Well done on that.
Well, I'm glad to hear we got callers all over the country who are jumping on the Mitch Hank bandwagon. And I just want to finish up what I was saying about the cause for the Russian thing started. We were talking about Ed Snowden being in Moscow.
The hero, Galileo,
And remember after Snowden went to Russia, then all of a sudden you started hearing these stories in the news about, oh, Russia did this and Putin did that. But there was another event that also caused something to happen. That was the Ukrainian situation. If you remember, the president, the elected president of Ukraine was deposed by
Joe Biden's son?
No, well, there were obviously, remember, the Ukraine includes sections of the country that are predominantly Russian, and then there's other parts of the country that are predominantly Ukrainian.
Yeah.
And essentially, this president who was elected was deposed, and he ran back to Russia. And it's highly suspected that Western intelligence was helping the people who were trying to depose him. Western intelligence would include the Obama people.
Oh.
Okay? So Putin is sitting there saying, my man who was my ally, who was the president of Ukraine, has been kicked out of office. So Putin, instead of just sitting there and letting Obama pull a fast one on him, says, well, I'm going to go in and reoccupy part of the Ukraine, the sections of the country that are predominantly Russian. So he just went in there and took it.
Took it back. Huh?
And there you go. So Obama's
there. You
there.
Go.
What is he going to do? What is Obama going to do? So Obama
was
Ukraine?
So the CIA under Obama was trying to get rid of the guy. And so Vladimir says, niet, right?
Yes, niet. And then we're sitting, so we end up with Russian anti-Russian propaganda ever since then.
Yes.
I'm sure that they were planning, that Hillary Clinton was planning a confrontation with Russia.
Ralph, we're running out of time, but
it's sort of like the Bay of
Pigs. You've been out of breath. You're out of breath, is my point, which is...
And this was all described in the book Debt of Honor by Tom Clancy.
Debt of Honor, the great novel, yeah.
In 1994.
Okay, 94, the year Arkansas beat Duke in the final in 94. Ralph, listen, I appreciate it. Now, Vladimir, just do me a favor and call Vladimir and tell him not to take his shirt off anymore.
Am I supposed to stay through the commercial, or what's the scoop?
No, we're gonna go on to something else.
Other topics?
No, okay. No, I'm going to, Ralph.
Oh, okay.
You've got another show to do.
Okay, I'm a busy man.
Yeah, and what show is that? Go ahead and give it out.
The Rents Radio Network.
Rents?
Rents, R-E-N-S-E.
R-E-N.
Rents Radio.
S-E. So if people want to hear...
Just type in Rents into your computer, and it'll come right up. It's a gigantic internet website.
Rolf, Rents. We appreciate the passion.
All
Have
right,
a great
you,
show
man.
On Rents Radio.
The truth is getting
the
out.
The truth. We're going to play the Russian anthem in your honor is what we're going to do. Thank you, Rolf.
Right.
Take care. Where's my vodka? I want vodka straight.
Right now?
Well, during the break. Mitch Hank on MedicineTalks.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@MadisonTalks.com. That's info@MadisonTalks.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Most realtors just came in and talked with you and then put an ad in the paper. Tim came in and said, here's what we're going to do. You had a plan, and it was spectacular. It really worked well, and I couldn't have been happier.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rail to anyone who had a house for sale in the Dane County area.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show. At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pasta Mateo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
See, Rob is always entertaining, but I felt like it was Alex Jones there for a minute. My point is, I don't know. I'm skeptical about anything, but I'm not saying the Russians didn't do it. You know, I'm not one of those. Rolf's convinced the Russians didn't do it, but I'm not in that camp. So, but, you know, I am skeptical because I haven't seen evidence. I just hear this 17 intelligence agencies all agree. Well, I heard that before Iraq. By the way, I'm going to do a song a day. Which time we have? 2 minutes? Seven. We've got a song. I'm going to do a song a day, and you can call a song and email me a song, Facebook me, what you want to do. The Mitch Hanks personal page, we're on Facebook Live right now, at Mitch Hanks, my Twitter handle, or Mitch@MitchHanks.com. By the way, you can do a podcast yourself here in the studio. We're doing podcasts on our MadisonTalks.com page. There's a Madison Talks podcast page. There's a Mitch Hanks podcast page. There's a live button. So you can do your own podcast. Window to the world, when you record, you are live. Now, my song, I was in the mood for this song because it's kind of like smooth. I'm a Frank Sinatra fan, as you know, but we will always play this on Song of the Day, I promise, but go ahead and play it because there's so much music build up on this, and I can keep my, because it's often, you know, the next holiday before we get to the chorus. Like July 4th, we'll have the chorus. Here we go. We can crank this.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well.
So smooth.
I see fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside.
For Ryan Beebe, my friend.
And then that elevator starts its ride.
Down and down I go.
Round
and round I go.
Like a leaf that's caught in the tide.
Now a little key change.
Yep. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame.
Now.
Aflame and with such a burning desire.
We can fade down. Wait.
That only your kiss can put out
the fire. Does he do the down and down I go again?
You are the lover.
Oh, this is so good.
I waited for the maid that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine.
Here we go. I like this.
Baby, down and down,
down I go.
Round
and round I go.
In a spin, love and the spin that I'm in. Under that old
black magic
called love.
All right, Frank. I had a little Frank fix. I had to get a Frank fix. You know, he stayed in the pocket with the band. You know, a lot of singers want to go off, you know, go off and do their own thing and just ignore the band, ignore the charts. Frank didn't do that. I mean, he might have changed the lyrics, but he was in the pocket.
That was grooving, yeah.
He was grooving, man. He was just grooving, kind of making love to the song, wasn't he? I mean, kind of, He was enjoying it, and that's what I like. There's always a mood, always an emotion, always it's enjoyment, ecstasy, sadness, lament, all there, man. That's why there are millions of fans. And I love those critics of Frank because they're wonderful people. But so I had to get a little fix. Somebody got a fix. You get a fix, right?
Yeah, I got to hear
maybe
it.
Maybe you get a fix, a Beatles fix, a Stones fix, a Michael Jackson fix. I don't care what fix. But, you know, I want to do a song a day. So I'm going to start encouraging people to give me their song of the day choice. And, you know, I don't care what it is. We'll play it. You know, Mike Brockebelt, I mean, you can even put a nomination in. I won't always bore you with big band type stuff. I promise I won't. But we're embracing the podcast world, and you can have your own podcast, as I said. We're going to be live for a while. We're going to try this time slot and see how it goes. It frees up a few other things for me early in the day, at least for a while.
Life stuff,
yeah. And so precipitating the change. But again, if you're friendly in the digital world, if you live in the digital world and you're on your phone all day, maybe you can sit on your deck at 5:30, you have a vodka and listen to the show. If you don't care about watching the evening news live, the joy of the podcast world and the digital world is that it's not like when people back in the day would sit around and wait for the show to come on at a certain time. You know, The Fugitive or Who Shot JR or The Untouchables back in the day. People watch and listen to what they want to watch and listen to on their own time. Hence iTunes, hence podcasts. I mean, you do it on your phone when you want or at home, on your computer on Saturday morning or Sunday morning or whatever the case. Or walking the dog at night. You can hear podcasts. Go to madisontalks.com. Check out the podcast page. You'll be amazed at the people we have on there posted. I want to thank Bob Keller of the Keller Real Estate Group for the space here on West Washington Avenue, 4 blocks west of the Capitol. The action is Mike Brockebelt, our engineer. Also, you can check out the Keller properties, Tuscan Place, Washington Court, out on the west side, Whitcomb Square for seniors in Orchard Ridge. And Bob Abella is next, right? No. We're going to get our lineup straight. But we'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.